Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, Jack and I will be continuing the playoffs talk as we discuss whether the Blazers should fire Terry Stotts in light of their recent sweep, whether Portland and the Wizards need to blow up their big two, and we'll be asking whether LeBron will stay with the Cavs. Are the Sixers the best team in the East? And we'll be picking apart Milwaukee's shock win against Boston. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this episode of Just Ball Things. You are listening to episode 2.26. And with me today, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel, still in the room next to me, still gracing me with his presence in Melbourne. How are you, mate?
Good. You did that intro a lot better than the last one, mate.
Didn't even read it that time. I'm looking straight at you.
I know. It's kind of scary looking into your eyes. I don't know if I'm falling in love with you or if I want to kill you.
This is where you do your single eyebrow raise, and I try to do one.
Yeah, but we probably shouldn't be like talking about doing eyebrow raises on an audio podcast. We'll get to video one day, ladies and gents. One day.
My name is Nick Busink, and I purchased God of War.
Ooh, are you
not so much an interesting fact, but it has very quickly taken hold of my entire life.
Yeah, I walked into the room and I heard lots of yelling and violence, and Nick's a violent man.
It's a good game.
I mean, video games have a horrible effect on you, Nicholas. You can turn into like a school shooter or something. I don't think so.
If it hasn't happened already, I think I'm in the clear.
True.
Like, my formative years were was when I was going to be turned.
Lucky you didn't have God of War back then.
I did.
But anyway, should we get to the first Busick Manuel? We're going back to Busick Manuel for the playoff, You know, we just did a playoff sort of spiel last one. But we're going back to some Busick Manuel playoff style. Yeah? Why not?
I guess. I mean, what else are we going to do?
I don't know. Okay. So the Portland Trailblazers, Nick, would be wrong to fire Terry Stotts, as has been rumored by the New York Times' Mark Stein. Obviously, they got swept today.
Yes, they did.
Brooms were out. Drew put him on holiday.
By every account, Terry Stotts is a great coach.
Yeah, rate him. Rate him highly.
Yeah, I know a lot of execs and fellow coaches, players, they all rate him highly. I think I was listening to a Zach Lowe, this was like many, many months ago.
Yeah.
And his guests were saying how much he admired Terry Stotts and everything there. I mean, they finished third in the West this year. Nothing to blink at. The
playoffs, I think they've gone out straight sets, I think, in 10 past seasons.
I mean, their regular seasons have been good. I mean, last year, I think they finished 8th.
Yeah.
So, wasn't much hope against the Warriors, but they still had a good team. Their defense waned that year. This year, bringing in Nurkic, even Aminu. Aminu was already there, but
Heartless.
Sort of solidified that defense. And they became an extremely, extremely good team.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure how much Terry Stotts has to play in
front office. It's Neil O'Shea.
Well, more just Lillard's inability to play in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get to that in our next Busick Manuel. But Ben Golliver of Sports Illustrated posted that he's fourth in field goal in the playoffs for active players who've had more than 500 attempts, with 40%. Kyle Lowry, Jamal Crawford, and Lou Williams are the only three active players who are worse than him.
How do you coach that out? I mean, he led them to a third seed in the West when obviously Dame and CJ were carving, more Dame, absolutely carving it up. And then, I mean, how do you coach out of going to water in the playoffs?
No, you can't.
Your mental.
And I think a lot needs to be said for their roster composition in terms of all the contracts that they gave in 2016. They gave like 4 years, $40 million to a guy like Myers Leonard, who now has already been usurped in the by rookie Zach Collins, who looks like he could be a player. And, you know, having a guy on a rookie-scale contract is valuable going forward. You know, Ben Simmons is on a rookie-scale contract for the next 3 years. They don't have enough of those young pieces to build around. Pat Connaughton's on an okay contract, but they've got all these guys who have, like, you know, Evan Turner, for me, I read an article for Beckett Media, I think, a while ago, and I'm pretty sure he was in one of my worst contracts, like, in the league right now. I think it's something like 4 years, $68, $64 million deal. He's still got...
There was a hope that he'd not so much live up to the contract, but at least be better than what he is now.
Yeah, he's been absolute trash. And, you know, with that, Nick, I'd give him this alternative fact. I'd be surprised, but, you know, with what happened, you know, Steve Clifford's gone. It's a coaching merry-go-round in the NBA in the postseason. But
I mean... It depends on our answer or the next one of our next piece.
Here we go.
Really,
segue time.
You'd be crazy to fire such a coach. But then, great coaches have been fired, but because they don't fit with the philosophies of the team,
yep,
whether they can't click with the players, they don't see eye to eye with the front office. Like, you can be a great coach, and all of these things can go against you, and you'll get fired. Exactly,
yep.
And you'll get fired.
They're all decent coaches.
So I'm probably going to give this more of maybe a Twitter,
Righty-o,
close to a wiki.
Yeah.
Because if they're not meeting eye to eye,
scary.
You need to get rid of them.
Fair enough, Nick. But with that,
the next one.
Oh, you're doing it. Oh, wait.
Changing things up. All right.
Go.
The Blazers.
Yes. And?
No.
And?
No, Jack.
And Wizards.
Blazers and the Wizards both need to blow it
Give
up
me an explosion. You got an explosion there?
I do.
Yes.
Boom. They both need to blow it up and trade one of their backcourt
at least
duo.
One. I mean, I don't see them trading both, because you can't trade two franchise players. It's just stupid. But
just get like 17 first round picks. Get the whole draft combine.
Well, Justice Winslow almost got 4 first round picks back in the day from Boston. But that's a question for that's a discussion for another day. Nick, we'll go at this one at a time. We'll delay the discussion about the Wizards.
Thank you,
because they're still in the
time to cry.
Yes. But right now, the Portland Trail Blazers, a nice article by Kevin O'Connor, which I'm yet to read, but I have on, is he advocated for the fact that, you know, there was rumors about CJ McCollum traded for Kevin Love at the sort of trade deadline, which was interesting. Right now, I was listening to the Ringer podcast as well on the way here. I'm glad I did, because it gave me some nice juicy info about the fact that they gave up some proposals in terms of the Dallas Mavericks could give, say, Harrison Barnes and trade Myers Leonard and CJ McCollum, and they could chuck in some picks there. You know, get rid of some Myers Leonard contract, get a wing like Harrison Barnes, who's good, and he's good defensively, and he'd fit well along in that sort of front court alongside a Dame who can sort of create his own as well. Because, you know, it's the fit there, it's working, but I don't know if it's on CJ, if it's on Dame. You know, I'd be very, very surprised if Dame gets traded, so that's why I'm bringing up CJ. They brought up as well New York trading Frank Ntilikina and a first rounder of some sort for CJ. You know, a pure defensive guard like Frank Ntilikina, who has huge upside on that end. And under Terry Stotts, who's one of the best play development coaches, as we've talked about, I think he could certainly grow there. So there's plenty of proposals, but what do you think? Do you think that they need to? Do you think they should? Is there a ceiling with this team right now?
I mean, it's quite damning, just their playoff run, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters,
yeah,
doesn't it? It's
how
deep you can go in the playoffs.
Pelicans, look at it.
Yeah. I don't think they should blow it up, because they're still young guys who can turn it up in the regular season, and they will be in the playoffs for many years to come. With their current team, obviously you can shake up the role players as much as you need. So I don't necessarily think that they should blow it up. I'm probably giving this one a... Are we saying they should blow it up? So I'm saying they shouldn't. So I'm giving it a Twitter.
Yeah,
had to do the maths in my head.
Yeah, I'm giving it a wiki, because I think that they should.
I'll give it a Twitter, because how often are you going to get quality in picks like you've got in Dame,
yep,
and even CJ?
Yeah.
You've got brilliant all-stars now, and I think it's an old sort of saying, well, not so much a saying, it might just be my own sort of
mentality
thing. Yeah, exactly. Where where you don't trade an all-star for
lesser than that.
Well, not so much that, but for even a maybe.
Right.
Because you need something... You need something.
I think I like the mentality of that You've
got the all-star now. No, there's no point gambling on a different all-star.
Well, correct, but the different all-star could have a better fit and could lead to a different sort of dynamic and cohesion and a different ceiling in the playoffs. Like,
I mean, I completely feel that Dame and CJ can... their mentalities don't scream, I'm going to go to shit in the playoffs.
No, not at all. But how do they get better than Nick? You can't get... But, like, no one wants Evan Turner. No one's going to want Mo Harkless. No one's going to want Yusuf Nurkic, who could be up for a payday as well. I believe they should keep Ed Davis, who's on bugger all, and he fits a lot better. How are you going to get better? They need to get better, this Portland Trailblazers team. And to get better, you need to offer up something of value. The only two players they have of value are Dame and CJ. Mm. And you're not going to trade Dame, so... And check out that Ringer piece by Kevin O'Connor. It's a really good one.
CJ, but I can see fitting like how Redick has fit into...
And he can create. He can sort of be a...
Exactly the same.
He can play point guard as well. He can sort of be a combo guard. JJ is more of a sort of lights out sort of shooter running off screens.
But yeah, like his off screen and even just off dribble shooting is still great.
Yeah, I think in the NBA today, I think he runs the most out of any player per game. Something like 2.5 miles or something like that.
I can definitely see CJ having like a Redick role, and that's even a lesser role than what he's capable of now.
I think he's capable. But he could be a number one guy.
Like, put him on the Cavs. Yeah, what a pickup that would have been this year.
Yeah, so if they could have. It actually mentions Nick. So the Cavs trade by Kevin O'Connor says Kevin Love, Chetty Osman, and the Nets first round pick for McCollum. Now, if I'm the Cavs, I don't do that. But if I'm the Blazers, I jump at that in a heartbeat. Mm. Chetty Osman, nice sort of young piece. Yeah. That number 8 pick could get you something. Could get you like a Mikhail Bridges, who's got a sort of... I've been thinking about draft stuff, Nick. So I've been thinking a little bit.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you're trading an all-star for an all-star. They're obviously different. They're obviously different players. I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
But you're not trading an all-star for a maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I get you, mate.
I dislike it when people go all in on picks, because those picks can easily fail.
Absolutely, if you don't have the right coaching and the right system around them. But the Wizards now.
God, no.
I'll give the Wizards a wiki as well, because Game 1 and Game 2 were disasters. Game 3, more back on track. But for me, it's similar to what's happening in Minnesota and Houston. It's sort of, you know, papering over the real issues that are happening there.
But there's no trade that's going to benefit us.
There is no trade at all, because
We're going to lose in any trade that we give, because our players are overvalued for their contracts.
And I think with it, I don't know whether Marcin Gortat retiring would probably be a benefit, or whether there's the fact that you've got a guy from China in Ty Lawson, and he's already your number one bench player. It screams to me that the front office has done
Rest
a
in
horrific
peace, Tim
job.
Frazier.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, but they've been horrific, the front office, in terms of acquiring sort of these lesser pieces that could sort of contribute.
Role players aren't role players. Like, Porter was a role player.
And Porter's role with the team right now is not enough.
So limited.
Like, I don't understand what the hell they're doing with him.
He hit his first 3-pointer against the Raptors, I think maybe in the second quarter.
Did he play like 25 minutes in one of the games as well? Like, he's a bona fide third guy who I think, like, has a huge effect. And my Nets offered him that sort of max, so then the Wizards had to match it.
Yeah, bastards.
Yeah, I know. Well, it didn't work for you in terms of your salary cap. But with our Nets, I could see him working perfectly. I feel like he's got a really nice skill set. You know, he's decent defensively, can make the 3-point shot. One of the sort of is elite-ish in that area. Can create off the dribble a little bit, but alongside Wall and Beal, he's just an afterthought. And that's one thing that I just don't understand.
He is. I mean, it seems to me that we don't play enough of... It's either Toronto's defense limiting us to playing like this, but we don't shoot threes.
No.
Like, it's weird to say when we've gone through bench units like Bogdanovich, obviously a brilliant 3-point shooter. Yeah. Mike Scott is our 3-point shooter. We've got Jody Meeks who isn't playing. I mean, he can knock down threes. We've got even Markieff Morris popping out to the corner. But Otto Porter only took three 3-point shots. He made 2 of them in that last game. He got 8 points. He is capable of so much more. But it may be a moot point because we won that game off pick and roll.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where John Wall's strengths do lie.
Finding Gortat in the paint open.
Yeah.
No matter how many players are packed in there.
Yeah.
Is just an uncanny ability.
Yeah,
to pass.
He's perfect at that. But it's interesting whether the backcourt duo and whether we talk about maybe trading Otto Porter.
I would extend it to that, but no one's going to take Otto Porter on a max deal.
His max isn't as high as
still 25 mil.
But it's almost like, you know, if you look at what Evan Turner's doing, Alan Crabbe's I think on about 19 million right now, and he's probably just playing at that value towards his late season form. And if you look at Otto Porter, he's probably a juiced up version of that in terms of his youth as well. He's a bit younger, plays a bit more defense. I think a team like, funnily enough, of Portland could use him perfectly. And, you know, obviously you're not going to trade CJ or whatever, but that's a fit that I'd like.
I would take Nurkic. Like, and a few more pieces, but...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not so
He's
happy
He's unrestricted
with...
free agent, though, Nurkic. So he'll get paid by someone.
Oh, okay, righto. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm more open to the fact of trading Otto Porter, more so than that. But if this has screamed anything to us... I think it's what we have doesn't work.
Yeah, similar with Portland.
I'm very much open to shaking up if it means that we don't make the playoffs even for maybe two seasons. I mean, we didn't make it last season.
So you're advocating for blowing it up, Nick?
I'm giving this more credence.
Okay,
but not the big. Oh, I don't know.
Are you going to play the explosion thing? Oh, it is going to explode.
It's done. That's official.
All right. But moving on, we've had plenty of talk about the teams who are on the fringes, but a team that isn't is the Pacers. Mm. And have they forced, Nicholas, this series, has it forced LeBron out of Cleveland? Let's just do it quickly, because I think it's basically a fact.
Yeah.
I don't need to say anything more.
I'd say so, too. You can see, like, his effort to win the games...
That late play on defense was hard.
It's still there though. The push to win games from LeBron is still there.
Yeah, offensively.
Well, even if it's just a matter of early in the game.
Yeah.
What sucked the life out of Cleveland in that last 5 minutes was one guy. It was Bogdanović.
Airbnb, as Mark Jackson called
that
it.
That is the best,
it's a very
best nickname.
It's the best thing that Mark Jackson has done in his entire
when Bogdanović
career.
Hit that and one three-pointer.
Kevin loves stupid.
And you're just like, they've lost the game.
Yeah.
That was it.
It sucks the life out of you.
And it does. And, I mean, I was arguing with you about this. There's a particular play where LeBron just did not go back on defense and they ended up hitting a transition three. Poor. I agree.
Yeah.
From your leader, for one, you lead by example, you get back on defense no matter what. And I completely agree with you. But on the flip side, this sort of confirms this Busek Manuel, his drive was gone.
Yeah, he doesn't
He
care.
Did not have any motivation whatsoever. Yep. The game was... I don't really care that much because I think the game was lost
already
at that point. But that's probably not a mentality that NBA players
should have.
No professional sportsman should have.
Yeah.
Never give up.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I'm not a professional sportsman. my physique may give that away.
We had four players on Thursday, mate.
We did all right.
We did very well.
But yeah, you can just see it in his play. He doesn't have enough of a supporting cast. Yeah. He's giving it all offensively, inside and out. He's 34 years old.
Yeah.
He can't do it. He can't do 100% on both sides of the floor anymore.
He can't. And I'm sure this will be a discussion point in the off season. So we'll revisit it nonetheless. But a team who, Nicholas, are the Sixers the new favorites in the East?
They have.
I'm on Twitter because they could be. After this series, I'm waiting until the second round series because the Heat are good and the Sixers have
just been shown up, though.
They have been, and the Sixers have been absolutely amazing. And they've exceeded expectations and then some with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons with the first playoff triple double since Magic Johnson, JJ Redick, Ersan Ilyasova, Bellinelli. All these guys are absolutely balling out. But I just want to do it quickly that I still think the Toronto Raptors are the favorites because they've proven With their regular season form, and they've proven with some their postseason form has been good. This the feel of the Raptors right now feels like that this is a different sort of squad, and I feel like that they're going to make their mark, and I hope they do because I'm a big Raptors fan. I'm also a big Sixers fan, but this Sixers squad is absolutely balling out, and a lot of people have them as favourites, and they certainly have the talent to sort of justify that.
I mean, it's crazy to see essentially two rookies come out and play the way that they have. More so on Ben Simmons, that's been more impressive. Is it crazy for me to say that I would have thought Joel Embiid would have done more in the playoffs? Like he had 20
injury.
He had it's a facial injury though.
He could literally. Someone said that if he got a hit to the eye, he could be blind, like permanently blind in the eye. So I get that. But his impact defensively, being on the floor, is like Rudy Gobert-like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just him being on the floor that's his presence, his forte. I thought that he might do a little bit offensively. I don't know why I had these crazy thoughts of him doing like what Anthony Davis has done.
Doesn't need to.
Well, that's right.
His team is a lot deeper.
A hell of a lot deeper.
Yeah.
They have got at least 8 very, very, very good players.
They do.
This Sixers team has been just built.
Yep.
So well.
Yeah, the mixture of youth and experience is awesome. But Nick, before we move on, you got a fact for it? Wiki, are they the favorites?
I'm giving this one a fact.
Wow.
Because bang. Wizards are kicking Toronto out in the first round.
Righty-o.
We're 2-1 down. We're coming back, baby.
Wizards in 5, as I said.
Wizards in 5.
Mathematically impossible. Believe the impossible. Nick, the Milwaukee and Boston series. Milwaukee got one back. Their success in this series against Boston all comes down to the defensive end. Yes or no?
Well, hashtag alternative fact. It comes down to Thon Ozyman.
Yeah!
Thon Maker.
Five blocks. In the first half. Which is defensive.
It is defensive. There we go. Hashtag fact.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fact of fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
Almost. Trying to go crazy on crazy offensively,
yeah.
Like score as many points as you can against one of the best defensive teams in the league, who still are
good offensively.
Great.
Brown, yep.
Even just great defensively with the injuries that they've
awesome
they've had. It's
still,
this
yeah.
it's this system that keeps their defense in check. Trying to go. You know, gun-ho on trying to score points is not going to work.
No.
They killed the Celtics by keeping them tethered. I think it was 18 points across the first quarter and a half.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I think they only had 32 points come halftime.
Yep. Defense, mate.
And then the Milwaukee obviously just kept rolling with their offense. It was convincing. It was...
Can they do
unexpected.
It again? Yeah, it was. In the first half, the Celtics had 11 of their shots blocked. They only made 12 shots and they had 13 turnovers. So the defense from Milwaukee, the pressure was absolutely on. Thon had his probably best game of his young NBA career, and that's what he needs to be because he's had a very disappointing season.
I mean, we've been discussing this at length, their length. The length of the Milwaukee team. Makes them a very, very scary prospect. They just have to sort of work out how
they need. Mike Budenholzer has been making the rounds on different teams. Mike should have a little bit of a wait, have a bit of patience till the Bucks get knocked out in the first round, most likely, and then go to that team because he would make them a top 4 team instantaneously. His coaching is awesome, but that's a chat for another day. But Nick, the ESPN pundits, the experts. Should be ashamed at their disrespect of the Pelicans.
Are we pundits, Jack?
We're not ESPN pundits.
Okay. But we are pundits and we know what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Because we both called Pelicans, not so much the sweep, but...
They won.
That was crazy. But
22 writers, Nicholas. Kevin Arnovitz, Ian Begley, Amin El-Hassan, Jeremias, Chris Forsberg, Nick Friedel, all 22 of them picked the Blazers. All of them. Zach Lowe.
I don't know why people were thinking this was such a cut and dry
they
series.
Did. They all said 7-6.
But they all leaned towards the Blazers.
Nah.
Did they forget what Anthony Davis had done in the past month?
20 games,
month of the season? did they forget that, you know, he was getting talks for MVP? Did they forget what Portland have to stop Anthony Davis, which is no one?
Nope.
Drew? That was an unknown quantity.
He has been the best player in the playoffs right now. I'm putting that playoff MVP for
that's
me.
That's fair enough.
If we had some sort of JB team of the playoffs, he'd be number one.
Definitely. His defense and just offense has just been incredible. He's found new life in the playoffs, and to be fair, that was unexpected. But the quality that Davis has brought, I think a lot of people were thinking that Davis wouldn't be able to bring it in the playoffs, given his previous never won a game. Mm. I don't know. There was just something different about the Pelicans. They felt good.
This is a different question. And we've got a bit of time because we're just going to chat. But does this elevate Davis into the KD LeBron rung?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, this...
Sweeping the Blazers in the first round.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm intrigued.
As a six, that is massive.
This is one of my most intriguing teams because they've got Boogie as well. And, like, they've reached new heights without Boogie in terms of... Their game has changed completely. They've played like a really pacey game. They're number one in the NBA in pace. They get out in transition. Rajon Rondo has been awesome. So the offseason for them is going to be really interesting. Anthony Davis, absolute superstar. Could be MVP next year.
I reckon he could be.
He has a big shot at it.
I remember when Pelicans and Sixers were both two of the worst teams in the NBA. And the Wizards were there.
How times have changed.
And now the Wizards are no longer there, kind of. And they're like... When did this meeting happen that they would decide to take these huge steps to jump the Wizards? I'm very depressed.
When Anthony Davis is just like, you know what? I'm better than everyone right now. I'm going to do this shit. But Nick, speaking of teams who are the best, the Golden State Warriors have recaptured their best form and should reclaim favoritism out west from the Rockets.
No doubt that the...
This is a fact for me.
The same. Yeah. No doubt the Warriors have been playing tremendous basketball. I think due to the unfortunateness of Aaron Popovich and her passing, that's a massive, massive blow done to the Spurs.
Losing Pop, and he's apparently not going to be there for game four either. Our thoughts and condolences.
I mean, it must have been unexpected if he was traveling with the team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely heartbreaking, but... In terms of the basketball that the Warriors are playing against these Spurs, the Spurs are no scrubs. They made the playoffs.
But the series is won.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Since like it would take a tremendous like galvanizing.
It would take the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah,
But I think that the Rockets have looked somewhat iffy in their first couple of playoff games. Now, whether they've played... Look, if you look at their percentages, the way they're playing, the way Chris Paul's playing, I just like where the Warriors are. And because so many people are jumping on the new bandwagon, I mean, playoffs is the perfect time for bandwagon time, but I just think the Golden State Warriors are just... When they're at their best, they are the best team. Mm-hmm. And they don't even have Stephen Curry.
Across a 7-game series, the Warriors have got it.
Yeah.
We've still seen this playoff shroud that holds itself on Harden and Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul had a very poor first game.
Yep.
James Harden had a very poor second game.
Yep.
Like, you don't shoot 18% from the field when you're the leading guy. I mean, this is the main problem I had with sort of Paul George
and
everyone in that, because Paul George had a few of those games.
Awesome game.
Had that first awesome game, but it's like he had those games in the season.
Yeah,
and I'm saying superstars don't have games like this.
Yeah,
and that is what's holding James Harden. In a greater sense, the whole Rockets team. Yep. It's what's holding them back because they're gonna get games like this.
Yeah,
and the Warriors don't have games like that.
And I think that's they have this season, but the playoffs are a different kettle of fish. I think you make a good point in terms of the basement or the worst of the Rockets is so much worse than what the worst of the Warriors will be. Because they can, at the end of the day, they've got this secret cheat code, but it's just like, when Steph Curry's back, just do Steph Curry, KD, pick and roll, 40 times a game, and you are going to get 2 points per possession no matter what.
It shows when you get people like Andre Iguodala who light it up offensively for the first time this year in the playoffs.
He basically gets paid for the playoffs, which is, you know, that's why he got that contract. But
playoff Rondo, like playoff players exist.
Yep.
And playoff non-players, unfortunately, also exist.
Yep. And it takes a while to break that monkey. Mm. But, Nick...
I don't know how you break monkeys.
You just rip their heads off. Just chop them off. I don't know. You probably got a video game that's killing monkeys, maybe.
I'm not a bad person.
No, I'm just saying you like violent video games, and that's cool, mate. Derek Rose, Nicholas, will be a major factor in deciding the outcome of the Wolves-Rocket series.
Now, I know you've been itching to talk about this one.
We had probably our most heated argument as a podcasting couple. Now, we have plenty of them. But
it's all been this week, though, because we were arguing about the LeBron defense thing, and I was saying I don't give a shit. And...
We're not fighting. We're having heated discussions. We're like one of those, you know, horrible married couples that's on the verge of breakup. But you know, we're not breaking up this podcast. It'd take a lot. It'd take like Nick like killing a family member of mine. But even then, you know, I'd contemplate still doing the podcast.
I mean, if it was Chaz, you'd understand why.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't believe in his 24 years of existence, I haven't killed him yet. But Derek Rose, Nick, back to the point. Is he a factor in this series? Is he important to the Timberwolves keeping this competitive? He certainly was today in Game 3.
I mean, he can be.
Yeah.
It's just how much of your fate would you be willing to place on Derrick Rose's shoulders?
If I'm putting like my faith in Derrick Rose to win me a playoff game, then I'm certainly struggling.
But exactly. But if it's the case of Cat's not gonna turn up. Jimmy Butler might have still a few more bad games because of that lingering injury. Then. He's proved this playoffs that he can deliver offensively.
He can't be the best player on the Wolves for them to win a game. And
of course, no
we
way.
Talked about those percentages, those usage percentages in game one. That cannot happen for them to take down the Rockets. Mm. So I don't think he's going to be a major factor. So I'm giving this an alternative fact, but he can be a factor, like he was today, coming off the bench, giving them some instant offense. But it needs to be balanced out with, like, is he just dominating his opponent? Like, is he dominating an Eric Gordon who was pretty trash and hasn't been that great this series overall either? Their
season seems to be a bit of a...
Their three-point shooting is very up and down. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's the key to their success. And, you know, at times, you know, sometimes it can just not... They can't hit it. And when your offense is predicated on that three-point shot and ISO play... Then when it's off, it's off. So, but Nick, before we move on to our final one, what do you got for me on D-Rose? You feeling him?
I like his offense at the moment. I completely agree with you in that he does have defensive liabilities, and his plus minus is probably a better indication on whether it's just solely points scored. But we know that he's not a defensive player.
No, not at all.
We know that. That people need to pick up his slack defensively.
Yeah.
So that's more of a coaching standpoint on Thibodeau, how he's going to coach that team.
A lot of things we could say about Coach Thibodeau's coaching. We've done it plenty of times.
Exactly.
Like Tyus, Tyus Jones, Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose should be your third best guard. A lot of guys are gonna like,
but there are some games where
he's the second best.
Yes.
But like the Derrick
Rose, he shouldn't be the best guard on your team.
No, and the Derrick Rose stands out there. You can at me if you want, at the J-Man JBT. Nick's probably not as much so, but I'm not as big on Derrick Rose. And the fact that you guys, you know, whoever you are, email us, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Nick's the one that checks them. He's going to love it. At the J-Man JBT. He is not a starting point guard in this league.
Hmm.
Get it through your heads. Derrick Rose is not a starting point guard. He is an Isaiah Thomas light right now. And maybe he's Isaiah Thomas, that version, right now as he is. But Derrick Rose is not a starter. He is a decent backup point guard, if that. But if you look at what he provides in terms of today's NBA, it's not a whole heap in the scheme of things. But
if he's scoring 20 points a game in the regular season...
He's not going to score 20 points a game.
If he does, if he plays like how he's been playing in the playoffs for the whole regular season, he becomes a starting point guard.
Yeah, but like, how long have we been waiting for that, Nick? He said that, like, he called the New York Knicks a super team. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, So I feel like Derek Rose's delusions, we could do a whole podcast about. Probably.
Yes, but more the like.
But a person who is not delusional and has the most glorious hair in the NBA since Gordon Hayward got injured, and shout out to Tom Cruise, Last Samurai style, Ricky Rubio is officially the GOAT, Nicholas.
Just speaking on the hair.
Yes.
Steven Adams possibly has better hair than Ricky Rubio.
I want both of their hair. That's why I'm growing
it's
mine out.
It's the compliment with the beard as
well.
It
is.
Just works on so
I'm
many
I'm growing
levels.
Mine out so I can get it to Ricky Rubio style. Nice. I saw there was like a, during a playoff break, like one of the game breaks, they showed his hair sort of like getting longer just before. And I'm like, okay, I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
give me a couple of months, I'm going to be there. Hopefully by the time I get back from London when I visit, I'm halfway there. I need to get the man bun. I crave the man bun and beard combo, but
I was going for that, mate. You go through an the grow in the hair. You get to an awkward point.
I know
where it looks.
I'm pushing through it.
Where it looks shit down and it looks shit up.
Yeah,
and you can't push it back. Yep. There's not enough
weight
there.
That's me right now, basically.
And it's just, it was a nightmare.
Yeah,
and I couldn't find
a. Got to push through it, mate.
You have to.
And that's what I'm doing
and
right
I
now.
I couldn't. I was weak. Yep. I cut my hair.
I'll do it for you. Are you gonna grow one?
No,
okay.
No, I can't get past. I can't get past that. I've tried on two separate occasions to get past that stage. I can't do it.
The reason why I want to is because I remember going to like my hairdresser, and he's like, "Why are you cutting your hair? You got nice long hair." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, why am I doing this?" So I'm gonna push through it because there's only a finite period where we get into our 40s and 50s, and we're still doing JBT. We're on like Channel 10, Channel 7, or on ESPN, and I'm gonna be like, "Damn." When I was 27, I wish I grew that man bun I'm doing.
No, live life with no regrets, Jack.
Absolutely, Nicholas.
No regrets.
Ricky Rubio's doing it. We haven't actually talked about this music man well at all. Spent about 3 minutes talking about man buns. But is he
time well spent?
Is he the GOAT, Nicholas? He's a GOAT.
He is. I think I'd be willing to give him a sheep title.
Yes, a lamb.
No. See, lambs are weak, but lambs are tasty.
Lamb are tasty. Ricky Rubio is a tasty dish.
Right, so it's... Ooh. He gave us 10 tasty dishes today. It would have been his first playoff triple-double.
I believe... this is his first time in the playoffs.
First playoff triple-double, he is absolutely lighting it up.
I love it.
Shooting, his distance shooting is a lot to be desired. But his ability to find guys, he's picking up rebounds. I mean, he's doing everything a modern guard should be doing.
First person since John Stockton to record a triple-double for the Utah Jazz in a playoff game.
There you go.
Awesome company there.
Picked up a lot of slack offensively
he
as
has.
Well.
He's
improved his offensive game. He's taking a lot more mid-range jumpers, which I personally am not a fan of. But if he's got the confidence to hit them, then go for
it. And I feel like that perimeter success... He's probably his best perimeter year ever.
Yep.
And we talked about this off the podcast, the fact that superstars are superstars. They're going to be great everywhere. But for those guys who are good to become great, they need great coaching. And that's what Quinn Snyder does for them. And a little tidbit before we finish up. During the post-game presser, the Thunder's Russell Westbrook, this is via Ben Golliver and plenty of others, on Ricky Rubio's strong Game 3 performance. He made some shots, too comfortable. I'm going to shut that shit off next game, though. Guarantee that. I love Russ so much. But these comments are going to come and bite him in the ass, probably. Like, he was... the best defense he's played was in that regular season game against the Houston Rockets. And then other than that, he was pretty good tonight, actually. He's been pretty... I think he's averaging a triple-double. I'm not sure after today's game. But he's been great these playoffs. It's his two... number two, number three. Stephen Adams is number three.
Yes, but that's what I mean. Like everyone refers to OKC's big three. Melo's not part of that big three.
And for me, actually, Stephen Adams is part of it because when he was off the floor, he was in some foul trouble. Thanks to some great play by Rudy Gobert and just getting into the lane and being a nuisance. They looked a lot poorer. So, for me, Stephen Adams is a big key to this series. We mentioned that matchup and how awesome it would be, and it's certainly lived up to it. But
well, it was testament in that first Jazz win. Rudy Gobert essentially got... I didn't watch the game, but it's very curious because Stephen Adams got 6 fouls.
Yeah.
And Rudy Gobert went to the line 12 times.
Yeah.
So, mathematics, I'm just going to assume... Every single foul of Stephen Adams was a shooting foul against Rudy Gobert.
There were some other ones.
Which was... But even so, to get fouled out and then they lost that game. Stephen Adams is so much of an X factor in this in this series. If he's finding his offensive rebounding,
pick
obviously is his best is his best commodity. But Russ's assist count goes through the roof when he can find Adams with his little shove little shove passes
underneath,
because Russ is so aggressive.
Yep.
That's my favorite Thunder basketball.
Oh yeah,
that's when I love watching Russell
and
Westbrook.
And then because they a lot of players get drawn to that, that leaves the perimeter open for guys like Jeremy Grant, Abrinas, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony. Paul George, playoff P, needs to step back up for these guys to have any effect, because he's been a pushover P, as the Jazz fans were calling out in the game. Their home crowd was absolutely fired up. I loved it. This is an awesome show. I hope it goes to 7. I'm thinking it'll probably go to 6 to the Jazz, even though I predicted the Thunder. I'm probably going to have to eat my words on a lot of these.
I need to re-listen to that podcast, because I know in my heart I felt that Jazz were going to win, but I think my head may have overruled my heart and said that, and I may have predicted that Thunder was going to win the series.
Yeah. And I mean, there's plenty of games coming up, guys. We'll have a pod coming up next week at some stage, probably this time next week. You know, we'll be recapping. Make sure you keep an eye on our Facebook page, because we are sharing content like no other. Plenty of highlights, all the game roundups. You know, we got them there for you. But spiel time, Nicky boy.
Spiel time.
Give it to me.
All right.
Emails. Give us those emails. You know, we only got a couple.
Yeah, I mean, we want to talk about what you guys are doing.
Derek Rose fans, hit me up.
If you want to email me about where you are up in God of War, no spoilers, please. I can tell you exactly where I'm at, but I'm not going to, because that's spoilers.
I
think I'm very early in. I think I've only finished 20% of the game.
Let us know. Email Nick. You know, he loves talking games. I love talking ball. Games. I love talking about anything. That's friends. Right. I don't have many.
All right. I think that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net-Radio channel, as always.
Sorry we weren't there this week, guys, but we are back this week. Nick's going to be putting it right up. I'll do the synopsis.
I'll be there. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Block Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review there as well. Helps us out a bunch. Get some more people in this his.
What's a his?
Shut up, Jack.
What's a his?
You can contact us at the JmanJBT or at JBTNick. There are Twitter handles. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by Jackie Boy himself, and as well as a whole bunch of other very good contributors there. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things. You'll find us there. We've got email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, where we'll read them out on the show. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.